Let's look at Exodus chapter 3, verse 8 and 12. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hivites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. So he said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Here it tells us that God rescues us out of Egypt. We know that Egypt symbolizes the world. God has rescued us and brought us out of the world, belonging under his name for a purpose. The first thing is that he wants to deliver us from the hand of the Egyptians, to deliver us from the oppression of the world, the grip of Satan. The second thing is that he wants to lead us into the good and spacious land, the land flowing with milk and honey. His purpose for rescuing us is to bring us into his abundant presence. All of God's abundance belongs to us. The third purpose is pointed out in verse 12, which says, we will worship him on this mountain. So God rescues us out so that we can serve him and worship him faithfully, without fear and with confidence. Now let's look at chapter 7, verse 16. It says, and you shall say to him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has sent me to you, saying, let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. But indeed, until now, you would not hear. And then in chapter 8, verse 1, it says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Verse 20, and the Lord said to Moses, rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh as he comes out to the water. Then say to him, thus says the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. Chapter 9, verse 1, then the Lord said to Moses, go into Pharaoh and tell him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. And verse 13, then the Lord said to Moses, rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. In chapter 10, verse 3, so Moses and Aaron came into Pharaoh and said to him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go that they may serve me. Verse 10 to 11, then he said to them, the Lord had better be with you when I let you and your little ones go. Beware, for evil is ahead of you. Not so. Go now, you who are men, and serve the Lord, for that is what you desired. And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. Verse 24 to 26, then Pharaoh called to Moses and said, go serve the Lord, only let your flocks and your herds be kept back. Let your little ones also go with you. But Moses said, you must also give us sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Our livestock also shall go with us. Not a hoof shall be left behind, for we must take some of them to serve the Lord our God. And even we do not know with what we must serve the Lord until we arrive there. So we see that every time God sends Moses, it is always to say to Pharaoh, let my people go so that they may serve me. You see that God wants to save us out from under Satan's hand so that we will not continue serving Satan, not continue serving this world. He wants us to come serve him. This is his purpose for redemption. So let's look at what Pharaoh says. Until the end, chapter 10, verse 10 to 11, we see that Pharaoh responds by saying, fine, 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 have the men go, but leave your woman and children behind. He wants to keep the men's women and children whom they love to stay behind, kind of like hostages, right? So you realize that many husbands continue to serve the world for the sake of their wives and children. But God does not compromise one bit. At the very end, Pharaoh says, fine, fine, your women and children may go, but you must leave behind your flocks of sheep and cattle to serve me. But God still says, no, not even one hoof will be left behind, not even one. The whole family and all of our finances and assets are meant to serve God. So we can see God spends so much energy to deliver his people from the oppressive grip of the devil. Because if we don't come and serve God, we are kept as the devil's slaves. In Egypt, they were slaves, and the enemy just kept oppressing them. They were slaves and suffered greatly. The suffering just continued to increase, and the burden just kept getting heavier. This sounds a lot like our lives, doesn't it? It's like our Christian lives. If we don't completely, with everything we have, serve God, not just ourselves, but our families, our children, and everything in and around our home, wholeheartedly serving God, then you will realize Satan will just continue to add on top of us all the burden and oppression of this world, and he will increase the weight so that it becomes heavier and heavier. Isn't that true? The enemy loves to use things to attract us so that we will go serve him. A little bit of a pay raise here, a manager status here, some stocks to attract you so that you will serve him. But the purpose of God's redemption is to rescue us from that place. All of our heart, all of our family, all of our everything to serve him. This is his purpose for redeeming us, to serve him and to worship him. To serve him, to worship him. Let's look at Ezekiel 44:10-11, and also verses 15-16. And the Levites who went far from me when Israel went astray, who strayed away from me and their idols, they shall bear their iniquity. Yet they shall be ministers in my sanctuary as gatekeepers of the house and ministers of the house. They shall slay the burnt offering and the sacrifice for the people, and they shall stand before them to minister to them. But the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, who kept charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near me to minister to me, and they shall stand before me to offer to me the fat and the blood, says the Lord God. They shall enter my sanctuary, and they shall come near my temple to minister to me, and they shall keep my charge. Here we see that the Levites are especially chosen by God to serve him in his house. But here the Levites are separated into two groups. One group is the sons of Zadok. The rest are in the other group. So other than the sons of Zadok, what happened to the other group? It says here that they strayed away from me after their idols, and they shall bear their iniquity. So they shall only be ministers in my sanctuary as gatekeepers of the house and ministers of the house. So both groups are serving in the temple, and yet they're doing different types of service. One type of service is mentioned in verse 11. It's serving the sanctuary, having charge of the gates of the temple and serving in the temple as a minister, and also standing before the people and serving them. So the first type of service is standing before the people and serving them. The other type of service is to come near to me. This me is talking about God himself. It says, come near to me, minister before me. And to stand before me. It's to stand before God. Their whole being is to look at God, stand before God. It is a holy place type of service, a holy of holies type of service. In verse 11 here, it talks about how serving the temple is an outer court service. So when the people come, the people want to make offerings to God, and you have to slaughter the bulls and kill the lambs for them. It is standing before the people, serving them. This type of service, when applying it to our lives today, slaughtering the bulls and killing the lambs, is kind of like bringing people to the Lord, to believe in Jesus, or leading people to offer their lives to God because they come before God with an offering, and so we lead them to make their offering to the Lord. Is this type of service important? Yes, of course, it's very important. However, if we only stand before people, that is, our lives are often only exposed to people, standing in front of people, Now, this type of service is usually very exciting, and the fruit can be seen very visibly, because if you slaughter a bull, then that's one bull. Such as if you bring five people to the Lord, then it's very clear five people have accepted Jesus. And then you say, those five people I brought to church just got baptized. Then that's also very clear to see. And so then these types of services are all very visible. It's very obvious before men. The other group then are the descendants of Zadok. So what about them? Their service is in the Holy of Holies. He says they are to keep charge of my sanctuary and to come near to me, minister to me, stand before me. Wow, they are to come near to God. To come near to God and serve God. Their entire focus and attention is on God, not man. This type of service is inside the holy place. Now, the holy place is very dark. It's very dark. The holy place has lampstands, but the lamps on the lampstands are very dim. And it's a place with very few people. It's a lonely place. Furthermore, coming near to God and serving Him, if you're not holy enough, you might even be struck dead. Also, standing before God, this standing is very important. It means waiting upon His orders. If He doesn't order anything, then I won't do anything. That's called attentively standing. Nowadays, many Christians seldom practice standing before God. They simply cannot wait until God speaks. They want to take matters into their own hands, thinking it's faster this way. And that is the reason why the church today is so weak. One of God's servants once said, if God took the Holy Spirit up to heaven, many churches would carry on as normal. They would not be affected one bit. Why? Because church co-workers don't need to stand before God, wait upon God's instruction. They usually go ahead and do whatever they want to do. Or often we will plan out the entire year's calendar, discuss what things we should do and what events to plan, and just keep going on. So if the Holy Spirit was brought up to heaven, the church without the Holy Spirit would just keep on doing business as usual. When serving in the Holy of Holies, you cannot sweat. If we look in the Old Testament, you will see that the priests are required to wear fine linen when they go into the Holy of Holies. That means they're not allowed to sweat, meaning it's not using your natural strength to serve. It's not like slaughtering the bulls and lambs, which requires a lot of physical strength. This type of non-physically strenuous work is actually harder. We find it's more difficult to stand before God and also to offer me the fat and the blood. That is all a pouring out before the Lord. In addition, he says, come near to me to minister to me and keep my charge. So that means if God doesn't charge anything, if He does not instruct me to do anything, then I must continue to stand before Him. Continue to stand before Him. But a lot of us will grow impatient. There are so many people outside who want to make offerings. Listen to that. The bulls and the lambs making so much noise. They need our help to go slaughter them. They must keep standing there before God. Is it easy? No, it's not easy. But this is the service that God takes delight in the most. Of course, today, as we live under the new covenant, that Holy of Holies is our bodies. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Under the old covenant, if you serve in the outer courts, then you cannot serve in the holy place. But today, in the new covenant, you come before God, stand before Him, and serve Him. And at the same time, spread the gospel, bring people to the Lord, and lead small groups. It's the same, these two types of service, they no longer conflict. But what exactly is serving God? And what is serving the temple? Maybe some people think, like when we were back in Hsinchu, we had our own church building. Every Saturday, people would stay behind and clean up the church building. Some people would wipe the windows very fast and carelessly because they want to rush home quickly. They say that, I want to spend time with God. But then there are those people who, as they are wiping the windows, at the same time, they're saying, oh God, this is your temple. I want to wipe the windows extra clean. Oh God, anoint me to sweep the temple so that it is clean and to wipe these windows very cleanly. So you see, the same action, wiping the windows in God's house, the first person was serving the temple, but the other person was serving God. So in serving the temple and serving God, the key point is not the action that you perform, but rather the condition of your heart. For example, if we are getting ready to visit somebody, then from the moment you wake up in the morning, you're thinking, oh, when I get off of work today, I need to go visit so-and-so, etc. Then in your thoughts, you're constantly thinking, oh, I need to visit him or her. So should I bring something? What time should I go over? I need to finish my work so I can go. And all of these thoughts, all of your thoughts are focused on this visit. Then that is called serving the temple. But say another person, from the moment he or she wakes up in the morning, he's focused on drawing close to the Lord. Oh Lord, my King, I just want to serve you. I want to worship you. I want to give you all the praise and worship you deserve. I want to pour out my love on you. Also, God, so-and-so has been very weak lately. Please fill me up with more of your love. Allow me to bring your love as I go to visit this person. God, let your presence be with me greatly and go with me, just as if you're blessing this person through me. And this is called serving God. So serving God means no matter what you're doing, the object of your attention is God. Your focus of attention is not that person or that matter. Although you are still doing those things, still serving those people, but your heart, the focus of your serving is God. You're doing it because of the Lord, not because of a responsibility or an obligation. Oh, because I'm the director of the fellowship, so I have to go visit this person. Because he or she is sick, so I have to go. You're not doing it under the feeling of obligation or responsibility. You are doing it out of love for God, serving God, needing God to go with you, focusing on the heart of God. And so the difference lies here. Let's look at another passage in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Many people dichotomize this. So sitting before the Lord is called serving God. If you're over there cooking, then that's called serving the temple. Actually, it's not like this. Jesus reprimanded Martha because of what? He reprimanded her for being worried and bothered about many things. It was because she was worried and upset about many things that she had resentment and started complaining. This type of service is not serving God. Serving God does not produce resentment or complaining. You know, there are many types of service. We were just talking about serving the temple. Actually, other than serving the temple, there is another type, which is serving the flesh, whatever my flesh likes. Some people, when they talk about this story about Martha, they say, actually, Jesus could use 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed 5,000 people, so Jesus didn't really need Martha's food. But Martha really needed the applause. Some people say here that she really yearned for applause. Some people, they are really good cooks, so they like to cook for people. But then as they're cooking, they realize and think, hey, why are those people just sitting there enjoying and not coming over to help? And then they start to complain. Then you are not serving the Lord, you're serving the temple. Back in the day when we first got to Hsinchu to serve the Lord, at that time we often hosted people at our house because most of our congregation were new believers. 97% were new believers and students whose families were not in Hsinchu. So we would invite these new believers to our house for dinner, and sometimes it would be a whole bunch of them, sometimes 30 or 40 people. But for myself, I was the youngest in my family growing up, so I very rarely cooked. And all of a sudden, I had to cook for 30 or 40 people, and I would get worried and bothered about many things. And so I would get up in the morning and spend time with God, but in my mind, I'd keep thinking about, what groceries should I buy today? Is this recipe good or is that recipe good? Which grocery list is better? And my thoughts would constantly be focused on it. Why? Because unconsciously, I was under a lot of stress. I was afraid I'd mess up or cook badly or spend too much time on it. But then I was enlightened. How can I be constantly thinking about my grocery list before the King of Kings? And so I asked God to forgive me, just to forgive me. I said, Lord, I'm going to give whatever dishes I'm going to cook and lay them down before you. Lord, when I go to the supermarket in a little bit, just lead my eyes to see what the things are that I need to buy and I'll buy them. Allow me to buy the ingredients that are both inexpensive and good. Guide me, teach me how I should cook. I'm sure we have many mothers in our midst that are very seasoned, mothers with many years of experience. But for me, when I first started, this was a lot of pressure because I had to cook for so many people to eat. But I was willing to lay this down before the Lord, just focus my heart on drawing near to God, seeking His face, and loving Him. So sometimes we need to battle. Oftentimes, you cannot control the worries and anxieties. Maybe there are some people here, sometimes when you're spending time with God, you'll be thinking of the fellowship you have to lead in a little bit, how you should lead Bible study, or lead worship, or what songs you should pick. Even a minister can also be troubled and worried about many things. Oftentimes, even myself, I get up in the morning and think about what message I should preach. I'm also constantly learning this lesson. I just tell the Lord, Lord, serving is your business. I don't know what to speak on yet, but right now I'm just going to serve you, to love on you. I'm going to pour out my love on you. Serving, what message to preach, is your matter. I don't want to have this hanging over me for the whole entire day. And so this is something that we need to practice. It's a huge difference whether your heart is serving God or serving the temple. In our Pure Heart Fellowship, we used to have Andrew's mother, Mrs. Lin, cook dinner for us every week. But later on, Mrs. Lin had to move to another state to serve her sister. So one of the home group leaders in Pure Heart was willing to take over the cooking and cook since Mrs. Lin wasn't here anymore. After she had cooked two or three times, I was going on a trip to Hong Kong to minister, and I wanted her to come with me to lead worship. So she arranged for people to cook for the 2 weeks that we would be gone. Then after we had come back from Hong Kong, the sister realized that there was no one to cook that week. In spite of that, this sister felt like her capacity had expanded after leading worship in Hong Kong. Oftentimes, even though the pressure may be very great when we go out and serve other people, but every time when I go and serve, the Lord has an even greater blessing in store for me. And so the Lord also blessed our sister this way. After she got back from the mission trip, she felt very happy to cook for the brothers and sisters in Pure Heart. Now, she couldn't cook on Wednesday because we had a Bible study on Wednesday night, and Thursday because we have a meeting. But you couldn't cook on Tuesday because that would be too early. So the only time she had to cook was on Friday at noon, the best time. But Friday at noon, she had to lead a new believer in a Bible study. So she couldn't cook Friday at noon either. So she could only wait until Friday after getting off from work to hurry home and cook. So rushing home after work, she would feel anxious, afraid that she couldn't get it done in time. As she was cooking, the Lord then asked her, "Which do you think is more glorious, cooking or leading worship?" And she said, "Lord, it's the same." And the Lord said, "Is leading worship more glorious than cooking here?" And she said, "No, Lord, not at all." Then after saying this to the Lord poured out an even greater spirit of joy over her and kept pouring and kept pouring. And she realized, when she served God out of a joyful heart and served God by cooking food for all these people, not only did he keep pouring out even more joy over her, but he also put a deeper love inside of her. Not only was it about cooking joyfully, she started to feel a deeper and deeper love for the Pure Heart Fellowship. So she told the Lord, "Lord, even more than that," meaning that cooking was actually even more glorious than leading worship. She discovered that cooking was even more glorious. So later that day at the Pure Heart meeting, she shared a little bit about these experiences. At that time, there was some conflict between some of the members in Pure Heart, but as she was sharing her testimony, she said, "The Lord is indeed pouring out his love in the midst of us." And that day after the meeting, a whole bunch of people in Pure Heart signed up to cook for everybody, including many brothers who rarely cook and always eat out. Even they were also willing to cook for everyone. That day was the first Friday of February, but the cooking volunteer sign-up sheet was filled out all the way to May and June. Every week there were people willing to cook, happily, joyfully willing to cook. You see, when our heart is focused on serving God and not just on fulfilling an obligation, oh, because there's no one else to cook and I'm a home group leader, so I have to cook for everyone. Whereas when our sister brought a joyful heart, joyfully coming to cook for everyone, God poured out an even greater joy, a greater glory, and greater love into our sister. To her, this kind of blessing is just too precious. So it's not just our service in the church that is called serving God. Some mothers, if you want them to visit people or do some Bible sharing in the church, they really like to do that. But when it comes to raising their children and cooking for her family, she'll think, I'm wasting my entire life away on this family. A sister like me who loves the Lord so much and he's given me so many gifts, but instead I'm at home all day changing diapers, washing baby bottles, and cooking. No, when we bring a joyful heart, knowing that since God wanted me to get married, then the Lord wants me to serve this family. To bring a glad and joyful heart. Lord, when I cook, I'm cooking for you. Lord, when I'm washing the baby bottles for this child, changing this child's diapers, I'm doing all of these things for you. You are serving God by doing these things, and you will realize therein lies the holy place. Inside your house, in your kitchen, that is the holy place. God can fill you up in that place and manifest himself to you there. But on the other hand, if a mother feels like the responsibility towards her children and her family, her home, has become like a huge heavy weight upon her heart, and so as a result, her heart is too heavy, she doesn't have the mood or the time to serve God, then that is not right. Then this would be a different case, because God wants every one of us to come and serve him. He also wants to expand our capacity to serve, not only serving my own family, but also that we should serve the church's family. The church is God's family. God wants us to serve this big family, not just focusing on my little family forever, my natural family, but to serve our spiritual family, this big family, the needs of our brothers and sisters.